Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The world's best dads deserve the best Father's Day gifts, and Ace is the best place to find them. We have a great collection of brands dads trust, like outdoor power equipment from Steel and Eagle, power tools from Milwaukee, grills from Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber, and coolers from Yeti. Find them at your neighborhood Ace or order online for curbside pickup or delivery and make this Father's Day one dad will always remember with gifts he'll love from Ace. At participating stores, see store for details.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is being brought to you by Shelton Fireworks, home of the big ones. Prem League is back. Go Gunners! Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
It makes me think that the idea of the owners running out the clock so that they could have their 48 to 54 game schedule, which would mitigate some of their losses, and you can't see me, but I'm rolling my eyes and I'm using air quotes when I say losses, that there's going to be no other choice than to do it that way. So now the players are like, great, we'll call your bluff. We're ready to play. When and where? That is now the refrain of the players. You saw Anthony Rizzo tweet about it. Tim Anderson tweeted about it. And now Mike Trout is out here. Mike, I don't have an opinion. Trout is out here like, we're ready to play. So when can we meet up with Joe Maddon? And you're looking at a guy who has no answers for you at all. I don't understand how the owners haven't fired him yet. Because he's accomplished something. He's made it so that public opinion is actually leaning towards the players.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
It's true. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're going to bounce around to a lot of different areas. Today, we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff, as per usual. And we're going to have a good time doing it. And hopefully, we will learn some stuff along the course of today's show. James Naveau is going to join me at 1240. He of NBCChicago.com and Madhouse Podcast. The reason why is, James was on the show about a month ago. We were talking about the NHL, and then when the NHL came up and brought up the idea about the hub cities, not hub city, because we know that this is hub city once football comes back, we had a conversation about Chicago being a hub city, and we were all kind of like, that doesn't make any sense. guess what? It makes all the sense in the world now, considering the way things have gone. And the great thing about having Nouveau on is that he's been someone that's been tracking the COVID data for NBCChicago.com, along with being one of the really good hockey dudes to talk to in the city. So we're going to talk with him at 12:40. I'm really looking forward to a conversation with Anthony Herron today at 1 o'clock. There's a lot going on in college sports overall. I also want to talk to him about historically black colleges and universities. Big news today, if you hadn't heard, the president of Netflix pledged $120 million to HBCUs. Specifically, it looked like Morehouse and Spelman, but that is significant. So I'm going to talk with Anthony about that and whether or not we're going to see more people choose, more young high school players choose to maybe go to HBCUs, and why there was, if you look at some of the greatest players that have played in the NFL, even the Bears' greatest player, they came from HBCUs. And then there seemed to be a point about the mid-90s when that stopped. There's still a bunch of great players from HBCUs in the NFL, and one of them plays on the Bears right now, at least one of them. I have to check the rest of the roster. But you have one. Your smallest running back went to an HBCU and did really well. And a lot of people wonder, well, could he play at the NFL because he's small and he went to an HBCU? So we'll talk with Anthony Herron about that coming up at 1 o'clock today. Herbie, I have a question for you right off the bat. So I wanted to pick your brain on it. Let's say, now you are not married, but you are in a loving relationship with a great woman, which is, oh, wait, before I get into your loving relationship, if you are sitting in the house and you're listening to the show, keep listening to the show, but understand that the Premier League is back over on NBC Sports Network. So if you want to watch a match, it's on live, Aston Villa versus Sheffield United. Later on today, my Arsenal squad gets back at it too. They'll take on Manchester City. Anyway, so Herbie, here's my question for you. You're in this great relationship. You're in a loving relationship with a woman who, quite honestly, is better than you. If I said that I could make it happen and I could have you covering the NBA down in the Orlando bubble, but you got to go for 3 months and you got to stay there for 3 months, would you go?
Absolutely not.
Why
firstly,
not?
Firstly, Florida, terrible. You see the COVID cases. It's a horrible state in general. Secondly, being anywhere for 3 months, not be able to have freedom of movement, do what I want to do, no, I'm good. I'm real good.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that too. And I mean, obviously some of the broadcasters have already signed on to do it, and there's ways that you can do the broadcast remotely. I was looking at Shams piece, Shams Charania, who, if you're not following Shams, you're an NBA guy. I don't know what you're doing. But he and Sam Amick, they laid out some of the stuff that is going to go into NBA players being down in Orlando. And the thing that Herbie was saying about the things that are happening at Disney World, they tested 500 people who work at the airport, and more than half of them have COVID. That's not good. Anyway, Shams and Sam Amick, they broke down a lot of this stuff. Now, there's a 113-page protocol on this that the NBA and the NBPA have apparently agreed to. But there's still a lot of stuff, and I thought that you might find it interesting if we worked our way through some of these protocols. Now, again, this is Shams Charania's reporting, along with Sam Amick over at The Athletic and Stadium Network. One of the questions is, how will they test? Mandatory testing begins at the start of Phase 2 on June 23rd. Isn't that a week from today or something? I don't know what day it is. Does anyone? It's less than a week from today. When each player and essential staff member must undergo a high-sensitivity PCR, I don't know what this is, polymerase chain reaction and high-sensitive serology antibody test, after they have returned to their local markets. Quest Diagnostics has been designated as the league's preferred testing provider. Quote, regular testing will continue in Orlando during Phase 3, July 1 to July 9th and 11th. Increased in Phase 4, June 9th to 11th to July 21st, and be in place through the restart July 30th to the last possible end date, October 13th. The NBA will create the League Health platform to register test results and monitor symptoms, temperatures, and other screenings for everyone in the campus. Each campus member will be provided with a smart thermometer, which will record the individual's temperature into the League Health platform. The NBA will also supply each campus member with a pulse oximeter to test to take blood oxygen saturation levels on a daily basis and record into the League Health platform. Players and staff must also participate in contact tracing program managed by the league and or Orange and Osceola County health departments to facilitate efficient identification of close contacts for isolation testing and follow-up. There is also some talk of the players wearing these rings that would act almost as like super Fitbits, where there would be a monitoring of them all the time as far as temperature goes and activity level and things of that nature. It feels a little Big Brotherish. There are some people who are like, wait, what? What's going to happen? How are they going to monitor us? That's in here. That's in the 113-page memo that's called Health and Safety Protocols. It seems to be a lot to get back to play, but for a lot of people, it is going to be worth it. There's more. You were probably thinking while I was reading that, wow, Lawrence is bad at reading today. And, all right, so what happens if there's a positive test for COVID-19? Shams and Sam reply. Therein lies the billion-dollar-plus question. If a player of prominence gets sick and is forced to bow out of the playoffs, then the league could face a very kind of public relations disaster that has made this sort of risky endeavor dicey from the start. According to the memo, a player who tests positive will be hospitalized if needed and otherwise be placed in immediate isolation, quote, isolation housing, i.e. a house, hotel, or other facility that is different from individual's previous location. From there, the player will undergo PCR retesting to confirm the positive result. There are expected to be occasional false positive results. A second positive result will be considered a confirmed positive, and the player will remain in isolation while beginning the process for monitoring, management, and resolution. The isolation will continue until the player meets each of the following conditions. 1. He is asymptomatic. 2. He returns at least 2 consecutive negative PCR test results more than 24 hours apart. And 3. Per the memo, the infected individual undergoes and is cleared following a medical evaluation by an NBA consulting infectious disease physician and for any player or team staff member in consultation with team physician, including any additional testing or isolation period that the physician may require. Prior to a return to play, the player will undergo a cardiac screening. What's more, the close contacts of the infected individuals will then be the focus of a fact-finding mission that includes contact tracing. That's a lot. And I'm not even like halfway done with the article, because we haven't gotten to the part of what if folks want to go to the club. Although, I don't think that's going to be a problem much longer in Florida. Like Herbie said, there's a lot of bad stuff that's been going on COVID-related, and you're starting to see places in certain parts of Florida say, perhaps we need to close those restaurants and bars back down. This is why we can't have nice things. I'm hoping that we can have nice things. But you know what this made me think when I went over it this morning? I sat here and went, if the NBA, which has been ahead of this for a little while, if this is where they're at in a sport that is contact but not collision, how in the hell is the NFL going to play? How? I've been thinking about like roster construction stuff. The NFL is going to have to expand their rosters, I would say, close to double. I know that's impossible, and it seems crazy for me to say that. You're talking about 100 guys on the team, but if you're down a guard or a tackle because they test positive for COVID and you're not going to stop playing, how are you supposed to be ready for that? Like, those rosters have got to expand exponentially. This is a lot. I don't know how this is going to go down. But this is what these plans, by the way, they should be. I know we make fun of them. Like, baseball had the 67-page plan. Basketball doubled that up with 113, or close to double that up with 113. They have to, because every question that you're coming up with right now, they're coming up with. Like, all right, so we got everyone in the bubble who needs to be in the bubble. What happens if someone decides that they want to leave the bubble because it's America and you can do what you want at the detriment of other people sometimes, like we're finding out here? Let me get to that, okay? It's one of the shorter paragraphs of this. Will leaving the campus be allowed? For the players, the vast majority of the rules should be filed under, quote, common sense, close quote, headline. Over and over again, the memo discusses the importance of social distancing, 6 feet or more from other people, routine hand washing, and the avoidance of face, nose, mouth touching, etc. But when it comes to the prospect of leaving the campus, it's made very clear in the memo that the NBA expects players and staff members alike to stay put. Quote, the exception is that players and team staff, the expectation is that players and team staff will not leave the campus. A reentry quarantine protocol will apply to those who leave and seek to reenter. Close quote. There's a lot going on there. Okay, so Herbie just sent me this clarification from the Orlando airport. They said 500 COVID-19 tests were performed over 3 days by the Florida Department of Health at Orlando International Airport last week. Of those tests, only 2 were positive. We want to clarify that number of cases recently shared with the media is a total number of cases confirmed at our airport since mid-March through June. In total, there have been 260 confirmed cases, which includes 132 airport employees out of the more of 250,000 employees who work there. The other 128 cases are not employees of the airport, but have traceable connections to our employees. Herbie, does that make you feel better or worse?
I guess better. It's still higher than the regular infection rate, right?
Yes, it is. It's still a little bit higher than that.
I mean, why are people flying? That's what I'm getting at. Why are you flying? It's like regularly airports are petri dishes of illness and sickness, and never touch handrails ever again, people. If you can handle it, never touch them ever again. But right now, you know what? People take their feet off, their shoes off, and put their feet on things and cough every day, and how sickness goes from the airport. I know you got sick. I don't know, back in Miami or traveling from the airport to this airport. Airports are disgusting. That's why we're taking a road trip instead.
Yeah, you're going to take the road trip to San Diego, right?
Yes. And
okay,
it's a 4-hour flight. I don't want to risk getting COVID in the 8 hours that I'll be in the air. Might as well just drive 6 days than do all that rest of that stuff and bring disease to other people who I love and care for.
So are you worried about hotels? Or are you guys going to camp?